Welcome to Gridwalk, a racing podcast where we really have just been screaming about Taylor Swift for a week. And it's really hard to do a race weekend and the Tortured Poets Department double album drop in one weekend. It also, it makes it particularly hard when this race happens in the middle of the night for us. But guess what? We're here and we're doing it.
Recording from New York and Los Angeles, your hosts, Nicole Katz and Brianna Klein, are lined up on the grid for this week's Gridwalk. Engines are fired up, ready to broadcast to you every Thursday on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, and more. Subscribe, like the video, turn on auto downloads, and leave a review to provide us with a fresh set of tires. Today, Gridwalk will take pit stops at...
I have a really great show for you this week that could start nowhere else than Into the Wild. Because the track was on fire, and Lando's pole lap was reinstated, and Alonso was a drama queen. And we love that about Alonso, don't misunderstand. So we have to talk about all those three things to start the show, because the track was on fire. Like, how could we start anywhere else? But after that, we take a stop at the frustration station and talk about everything that happened over the course of Lewis Hamilton's weekend. We probably should rebrand that segment this week to like the frustration roller coaster theme park. I don't know. It was very up and down. Gave me lots of feelings. Definitely worthy of a frustration station this week. And then I called you Taylor Swift in my brain.
Thank you so much. That's so nice. And then Taylor Swift has a podium, and she does. She's here. Our guest on this week's pod is Taylor Allison Swift. Crazy. She's going to give us all her thoughts and opinions about all the dumb headlines about her just saying the words Aston Martin in the song.
Well, don't get me started on that. But what Nicole actually has a podium about this week is all the things that happened this race weekend that she made as references to songs that were dropped this weekend. Nicole has also brought a jam-packed gossip grid because so much has happened in the world of F1 and pop culture in the last 2 weeks since we've done a gossip grid. It felt like a double gossip grid this week because so much happened. We bring back Lame Duck and talk everything about Charles's message and the post-race PR shenanigans between the two Ferrari drivers this week. And last but definitely not least, we have the spiritual successor to McLaren's tomb with these McLaren Lego videos. So we talk basically about how much we love Lego and Lego's marketing, and also the difference between McLaren's marketing for their Legos and Mercedes. So with that, take it away, voiceover man.
It's lights out and away we go on this week's Gridwalk.
Nicole and Brianna are venturing into the wild, ready to get muddy, figuring out what the FIA zebras are currently up to.
Oh, are we wearing our stuff?
What stuff? What are you talking about?
We're going into the wild.
Oh! I completely forgot about our props.
Now, but and this time we don't have hats
I have
on.
A ponytail.
You still have a ponytail.
I didn't think this through. We have so many Into the Wild
segments today.
It was
the most ridiculous thing. Oh, no. Last time when we both couldn't wear the hats. Although your ponytail isn't as high this time, so I feel like it, like...
I actually think it's like, higher, which is why it works. I'm like...
I'm choking. Oh, my God. What's happening? Okay. We did it. We did it, right? Joe! Yes. Okay, I'm ready to safari. Whee! So ridiculous.
Well, I think it matches the ridiculous level of the FIA, which is why I love this segment so much. Speaking of, if you don't watch on YouTube, we do have props for this segment, and I would like to put out a call for if anyone has ideas for props for some of the other segments we do. Like, we have a frustration station today, and I really want props, but I can't think of a prop for that.
Yeah, I can only think of a train whistle and conductor hats, and we already have hats for this one.
But it's like a conductor hat sounds so fun! Okay, we might have to do that.
I'll just steal it from the conductors on the Long Island Railroad. My feet to work. Like, I need this.
All right, but first, Into the Wild. Well, the track was on fire this weekend.
The grass was on fire. That was what every radio of like, oh, there's smoke from the ground. Like, hello? That was the most confusing like fire incident, anything racing that we've seen in a really long time.
I love that throughout the course of the weekend, the drama about the fire just dramatically decreased. So the first one was, there's smoke, there's things on fire. And then by, like, the second day, it was like, turn six, there's a fire. We know.
We know. There's a fire. That's casual.
Has someone reported the fire at turn 11? Yeah, no worries. It's going to be a red flag. Okay. Like, it went from, there's a fire, to, there's a fire.
Not another one. Yeah. Super weird.
So, Into the Wild is our segment where we critique the FIA. And I really don't know how to properly critique them for this, because it is a safety thing, and it is their fault. But I guess the only angle I do want to critique them from is, why was every time there was a fire, they took them so long to get out there to put out the fire?
Yeah, I'm like, can we extinguish this a little faster? Like, I think there's ways that we know how to extinguish this fire, and we can definitely do that. Yeah, that's my critique, unless you can find a way to find less flammable grass.
This whole thing was so confusing, because apparently, I mean, I love when stuff like this happens and, like, fake meteorologists come online and, like, try to explain why all of this
is should the sun! Like,
I live in California. We have wildfires. Like, I get how this stuff works.
A wildfire just starts in the middle of Shanghai at a racetrack.
I just can't understand. Like, and so, like, if you wanted to know, like, technically why this is happening, is, like, the grass was dry and the cars were sparking and it was lighting the grass. So, like, there you go. There's your explanation if you actually were looking at, like, for a serious rationale behind why this is happening. It's just, it shouldn't be. Like, should we be watering the grass?
Apparently not. Apparently no one's watered the grass for 5 years because it was so dry that we've had multiple fires.
And it was a rainy weekend.
Crazy. Again, I really was one of those things that I felt like this was a joke, that like one of the fire marshals took their job like too seriously and was like, I thought this was my job to do the fire, not like stop the fire. Like, I don't know. It was so unbelievably weird. Also, all of this is happening like in the middle of the evening while we were sleeping or listening to Taylor Swift, and so it's like there can't be a double album drop and grass on fire at a Formula One race.
I think a big theme of this episode is going to be, we were asleep for that, and I saw it the next morning, and I watched the session, was confused, then re-caught up on what people were saying about it afterwards, which is a weird way to consume any sporting event, period. But this was one of them, where we were having a meltdown about the 2 a.m. second album drop, and I pulled up my social media and went, why is the track on fire? And that's just a really confusing way to have an experience in the middle of the night.
Yeah, Taylor Swift is like, here's more music to just kind of send you into a spiral. And then Shanghai's like, here's some fire. It was weird. It was just unexpected. Hot. I don't know. Like, what?
Normally I like when these segments are more constructive or like, yeah, this is how we would improve this. I'm just like, how do we
water do... Water the grass. Less flammable grass. Put out the fire. Quicker.
We couldn't do this episode without starting here. This is where we just had to talk about the fire, and then we could move on and talk about other stuff because the track was on fire. I love a good gridwalk episode where we have multiple Into the Wild things to discuss. So thing number two, there was a very controversial sprint pole where Lando Norris got a lap removed and then a lap reinstated.
Yeah, I can very rarely think of the instances of things being reinstated. Like, when that happened, I was like, of course. Of course it is. Like, yeah.
This is a global sports thing. Referees in general don't like admitting when they're wrong. There's a viral clip going on right now where you can hear a conversation with an ump and a Phillies player where literally someone in the stands said something, so he threw out the manager and then wouldn't admit he was wrong to do that, and then was told after the game that that's what he did, and he said, nope, that's not what happened. He just was... So, like, to your point, like, I'm not used to things getting reinstated because...
It has to be such clear, solid evidence, which is what I tell myself anytime something is under review, except in F1, because usually 9.9 times out of 10, when something, like, goes to stewards and it's being reviewed, it's, like, gonna be that decision, and that's gonna be what that decision is. But apparently, we got that 0.1, and it was fast. I feel like it was also, like, reinstated as quickly as it was... instated.
Right. But not quick de-stated? Enough that everyone didn't back off their final laps because they thought that they didn't have that it. So, like, Lewis thought he had pole, backed off his final lap. Whether or not he would have beaten Lando's time is not the point. But, like, he was told he had pole, and then Lando's time got reinstated.
Everyone was like, yo, chill. And then suddenly it's like, just kidding. Too little, too late to everyone's timing. You should have just kept going. Fuck your tires. Ooh, whoops, that was an unnecessary
moment. We'll bleep it. It's fine.
But...
yep. We really try not to, like, aggressively curse on this podcast, but that was such a genuine, like, how we would talk normally slip. That's incredible. So you're probably, if you're listening to this, wondering, wait, but, like, F1 got this right. Why are they talking about it on Into the Wild? So... Let me get you up to speed about why F1 got this right, but why I'm still pissed about it. And it actually has nothing to do with Lewis Hamilton not being on pole. That's not why I'm actually upset.
Good caveat.
Yeah. So, but if you want to believe that's why I'm upset, can you just, like, leave a comment to help our algorithm? Okay, thank you. So, moving on. Then, so, at certain racetracks, it's in the, like, race weekend stewards notes that are actually published publicly. If you do track limits, for a lot of tracks, the next lap is also removed, because if you could take a really, like, wide angle in the last corner of a lap, getting track limits on that pass lap, and that could really benefit your next lap at a lot of tracks. So that's why... we're all used to this general rule, and if you, like, don't meticulously look at that race weekend's notes for what the rule is this weekend, you might assume, oh, okay, so track limits means this one and the next one, no matter what. That's what it is. But it varies from racetrack to racetrack. So my issue with what happened isn't that... they got it right in the end. My issue with what happened is that it's inconsistent from racetrack to racetrack, and it's so inconsistent and confusing that even their own stewards got it wrong and then went, oops, wait, never mind, that's not for this racetrack, that's for some of the other racetracks. And so when everyone's
trying
to...
We haven't been here in so long, we forgot.
Right. So many people, like, both... in the FIA, in their stewards department, are having to scramble to figure out what version of the rules apply to this race weekend. And to me, in, like, general ruling and refereeing of a sport, that's not something I like, where I need to change my interpretation or understanding of the rules from race to race is, like, not a positive viewing experience.
Yeah, it very much gave the vibe of, oh no, that person's looking at the rulebook PDF from last year, and not from the, like, oh, no.
Oh, no,
you
literally last week.
Yeah, which week?
It was like...
They command F'd the wrong section of the rulebook when reviewing, and then they were like, no, we're in Shanghai, this is different.
That's, like, that was the roulette of Zuka. What, you're not keeping up, general person who just wants to tune into an F1 race, where now you need to learn and listen to Gridwalk explain to you that this rule is different at every racetrack? Why don't we just make it consistent?
Stewart,
no, that would make
to
too much
to
sense.
The next page.
Right? It would make too much sense for everyone to just say, blanket rule of thumb, if you get track limits, the next no matter whether it affects it, the next lap doesn't matter. Because guess what? Then all the teams could just consistently apply that rule. The stewards could consistently apply that rule. Lando should have been on pole. The correct thing happened based on the rules for this weekend. I'm just mad that the rules change every weekend.
Yeah, that makes absolutely close to zero sense, if not just zero sense. Zebras be
help zebra-ing. Me out. Zebras, like, help me out. Like,
we joke about the inconsistency in stewarding and refereeing overall in F1, but this is like written inconsistency is crazy.
Like, a purposeful inconsistency is just not a good idea. Like, it's right. Like the poor steward that probably made that original call was like, I'm just doing what I do all the time. This is just how it works. And then it's like, oh, this like couple racetrack anomalies a year, that's not how this works. Like,
how dare
I'm
you?
I'm not mad at them. Like, why do the rules work this way?
The problem is not the person, the problem is the rules.
Right.
And what else am I seeing? Ah, Fernando Alonso being an unbelievable drama queen, as he has always been, and I hope honestly continues to be.
Life's because more it's fun just, when he's dramatic.
It's just what I expect of him and his dramatics. And this felt like one of the most interesting sprint races I think we've ever had. And I don't think for any of the reasons that really, you know, F1 wasn't actually wants about the race. Sprint races to be interesting. So Fernando Alonso had a lovely little penalty for, you know, making some contact with, you know, Mr. Smooth Operator Carlos Sainz and eventually having to retire from said sprint race. And then got a 10-second penalty and 3 points on his license. And Mr. Alonso was not a happy camper about it and made it very, very vocal in the press about said decision.
My favorite Fernando Alonso is Fernando Alonso on a tirade. Just because it does feel like a small child having a mini meltdown. Or a very large meltdown, depending on the meltdown. And it's like, who can I talk to you about how I've been wronged? It's just the...
And who wants to listen to me complain about my problems? And like, me too. Same.
Right.
Also, yeah. Yes. And there is a large population of people that also really want to hear his problems.
F1 needs heels. It needs villains. And no one leans into it better than a wronged Fernando Alonso. So like, you have... Not everyone can be likable. This is why I constantly say that this version of Max is boring, because Max winning all the time and not having meltdowns, like, he is the heel of all heels. And Max not being a villain is less exciting for F1. You need Fernando Alonso to be a drama queen. That is what he does. That's why we did a whole segment last week about, like, how disappointed we were that he re-signed already for Aston Martin, because he brings the drama.
He brings the drama. But... I mean, the new level of drama is the discussion of with, you know, basically Fernando Alonso was like, well, maybe sprint races, there's so many reasons that you could just make someone not want to participate, whether it's, you know, use of your tires, how like the stakes of all of it, blah, 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 blah. And coincidentally enough, our next race in Miami also sprint race. So like. Do you think Fernando Alonso is going to sit out of the next sprint race, Brianna?
Real answer, no. Hope, living, like, look.
Living for the drama? Yes.
Living for the drama. Also, as someone who doesn't like sprint races. Yeah, we get, like, once a season, get some kind of sprint race that's entertaining. And it's not actually entertaining because it's a sprint race. It's entertaining because of some external factor like this that would... It doesn't make me feel like I need a sprint race weekend. Like, this was a good sprint race, but it wasn't actually a good sprint race because of the sprint race. It was a good sprint race because qualifying was wet and therefore the grid was messed up. So it was like...
Right. Which could have also then been fun anyway, because quali was then back on Saturdays. And maybe also we could have had our 3 free practices to go back on the track that we haven't been at for a very long time and also get the data to properly set up for said race that then happens on Sunday. Maybe.
And then maybe Max wouldn't be, you know... Like, in a sprint race, 15 seconds ahead of the entire field, because teams would have time to, like, figure out their setups a little bit, and you wouldn't have Lewis Hamilton just, like, doing experiments, but that's the frustration station segment, so I'm getting ahead of myself. But like, so the reality is I've seen enough of sprint races. We have this new weekend format that is indeed better, but it's not actually making, it's the sprint race is still not good. So I hope that Alonso boycotts the sprint race, because I think maybe that would mean we finally might not have sprint races at some point. Like, this might, they might actually give up on them. I don't know. Like, I wholly believe that they are going to drag these into the ground, and it's going to be us 10 years from now talking about, like, they really should have gotten rid of these boring sprint races. But that aside, that's why I would love for Alonso to not do it. But what about you? Do you think he's actually going to do it, and do you want him to do it?
I do not think he will actually do it. Do I want him to do it? Yes, because yeah. The drama. But also, like, everyone turns up, like, the show in Miami. Everyone's just, right? Like, I mean, it's like a weird, I guess now that Vegas is on the calendar, it feels a little bit less showy, but it still just feels like everyone and their mother is like, we're going to Miami and we're going to do a thing. And so I just feel like that's not going to be the place that any team will want. I mean, not that any team ever wants a driver to like shake it up a little bit, but like, I feel like really that everyone's going to be like, shh, just, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. And I'm sure there'll be like some snarky comments and whatever of, oh, I hope that this is, you know, regulated the right way, and that. But
I hope Alonso's in the press conference and does whatever his equivalent of wearing 6 watches is. Like, if Alonso he just shows up to the around paddock,
the media,
yeah, the, shows up to the paddock with a shirt that says, I hate sprint races. Sprints are stupid. Like
sprint,
I don't know.
Out of sprint races. Yeah.
I mean, Alonso's pattern.
I have 3 like points on my license. Like,
yeah, this is unfair. Yeah, we didn't actually even talk about the penalty. Like, it's a little hard for me. I find that FIA, the reason this is in the Into the Wild segment is because like FIA stewarding is always so inconsistent. So like, technically, like I understand why Alonso's like, this isn't a penalty and shouldn't be a penalty, but like, because you could probably pull a bunch of clips about why this is not a penalty. And then I could also probably pull a bunch of clips about why this is a penalty. And then there's the greater discussion about should this be a penalty. And all of that comes down to is like, we need better regulations of the sport.
And it gets into the, and especially when you're in such an intense sport with racing that of, like if a car retires, you know, should then a 10, like can you be giving someone a 10 second grid penalty like after they retire, like it, and then the points on the license, right, like that also makes like could make sense given it all depends on like what you're looking at, what the stakes are. Like, are the stakes finishing the race? Are the stakes, you know, the, and if it's a sprint race, it's like, okay, well, it wasn't the race, but we're gonna get the points on the license and we're gonna like the right. 10 second
but
penalty,
it doesn't apply to the race. Yeah,
yeah, it's like a whole lot of interesting asterisk caveats of it. That makes you think of, well, if it can't be as black and white, like, should it be technically regulated differently given each situation? But that seems like it's too much asking from the FIA to do that when they can't even keep track of the track.
The FIA has been so bad also about not punishing the result. So, like, I can understand how Fernando Alonso would be like, Carlos was fine, or he didn't have to DNF, I DNF'd. But that's because the FIA has set this awful precedent that they punish the result instead of the action. When good refereeing, you punish the action, and whether or not it ruins someone else's race, you should still get a penalty for the fact that you did something that is against the rules. So I could also see why he's like, and we've seen the FIA enough being like, well, you broke the rules, but you DNF, so I'm not going to give you a penalty. So I, again, like, I can build this argument for Alonso that this decision, like, is inconsistent with their other decisions. I can understand why he's mad about it. But I also think, like, we, like, the regulatory body needs to stop making decisions based on the result of the action. They need to be making decisions based on what the person does. If you drive into a car and you're not supposed to drive into the car, you need to get a penalty no matter who gets the brunt of that driving into the car, essentially.
Right, right. But then it doesn't necessarily need to be 10 seconds based on the results that aren't results. Because I, of course, obviously, like, same page of coming to safety, doing something wrong. Like, yes, that needs to be penalized no matter what the circumstances are. Then it's also...
Like, I get why it sounds silly to give a 10-second right. penalty to someone when they DNF'd, but I like that they're like, no, you did something wrong. This is the penalty you would have gotten if you were still on track.
So you're still going to get said penalty.
So you're still going to get the 10-second penalty because... And because to me, that's setting the better precedent because it's not about the result of what happened to you. It's about what you
consistency.
Did
consistency. Yeah.
Right. And I think more often than not, the FIA has not been doing that, which is why I understand why Alonso's upset, where he's like, I DNF'd, I shouldn't get the penalty. And it's like, well, yeah, because that's the like awful precedent that
has
the
been
FIA
set,
has been
that
setting.
You would be getting it anyway.
Right. So like so this is inconsistent and it is annoying. And I completely understand why he's like, why would I even participate in the sprint? Because I'm now getting a penalty. I get these points on my racing license and the car got injured and like all
Carlos
this stuff
still
that...
finished and blah, 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 blah.
Right. Right. So like, it's not that I don't get Alonso's argument. His argument's actually in favor of the precedent the FIA has set for itself. So it's like frustrating for me to see the FIA do something like theoretically right. But like,
in the way that it feels like kind of confusing of like, well, could have you maybe done this a different time and way?
The FIA has been so inconsistent with itself that I can make an argument either way to anything always that they do. And that is the
that it's always
the root.
Inconsistent.
Right. The root of this is that like, I don't even know what the rules are anymore. Who knows? But I'm tired of this hat and I want to take it off. So we should move on to something else.
Words. Oh, okay. I forgot what this is. I had to do this. This has been a really confusing and wild week. And I forgot that we have a podcast and then we were doing a thing. There were a lot of moments that happened this weekend. And there was also a Taylor Swift album that dropped that we haven't apparently talked about enough. So in case people didn't know, Taylor Swift dropped an album. And that happened all at the same time as all of these other things were happening.
Well, and then she dropped a second album. They're like,
right,
really?
And there was two. It was a double drop. My sign this week says TTPD WTF because WTF. Anyway, I can only think of things in terms of the Tortured Poets Department this week. So these are moments and things from the Chinese GP that I have then correlated specifically to songs from the Tortured Poets Department.
This is incredible. I can't wait. Oh my gosh. Okay. Let's do this.
Okay. So.
A bonus mention because Nicole couldn't pick.
This is a really weak one, but it is Logan Sargent's Existence. I don't remember now how I do honorable. Yeah, I was like, I can't remember. Click.
I just like didn't know if that was when you wanted me to hit the sounder. We're rusty. You know, we're leaving all that in. Keep just
so
push forward.
We're gonna do the situation, and then I'll share you what song it is how this is gonna go. Okay, so Logan Sargent's Existence is just Florida with 3 exclamation points, just because he's from Florida, and the rest of them are a lot more legitimate. But I could not leave that one. Just there.
He's a Florida boy. The song's called Florida. Like, you're right. You could not say it.
Right. Exactly.
In P3.
The incident with Lance Stroll and Danny Rick. We don't need to talk about it. We don't need to talk about it. So this will be up to interpretation of who and anything this is about. This is guilty as sin. The answer is Fernando Alonso.
The answer to most things in F1 are Fernando Alonso.
P2.
Ferrari's on track fighting or racing. I'm labeling this as Carlos's I can do it with a broken heart moment.
Is he celebrating his birthday every day?
Every day it is. He's so depressed. It's his birthday. He cries and is so productive. It's an art. It really definitely is. And finally,
in B1,
Lewis's qualifying.
Oh no.
I hate it here. That's it. because I do.
Lewis's entire year.
There were so many so many songs from the Tortured Poets Department that really relayed to Lewis's quality, but I Hate It Here really summed it up. Because Hamfosi 2025, baby.
Hey, podcast listeners. Gossip Grid here, your guide to F1's paddock elites.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to Gossip Grid. Everything you need to know about F1 and pop culture. And there's been plenty of things going on pre-China, post-China, in China. And I'm here to tell you about all of it. And as always, I start with all of the paddock fix of the weekend, which thank goodness for like people that do the real work, like Amazing Lou and Joe Guanyu's Closet, who actually let me know like what people are wearing. So Lewis rocked some of his tried and true faves this weekend with Rick Owens, parts of Pharrell's fall 2024 launch. Look, I'm living in summer of 2024. Let's not rush to fall of 2024. But it was really cool to see some of Pharrell's Louis Vuitton collection as that continues to grow and grow. And also a Tommy Hilfiger, really great set that he wore. Joe wore a ton of Dior in the paddock, and also his collab with Lululemon, which I would love to be able to get in the States, but that does not seem like that is an option for me. But it was a Dior and Lululemon and Joe collab weekend for Joe on the runwalk in the paddock. Also, other drivers wore things that weren't team kits, including Yuki and Charles. But there are other accounts that meticulously track who and what they are wearing and when they are wearing. And if there are, and I can't find them, let me know. Because I think there's only ones for Joe and there's only ones for Lewis. Speaking of Lewis doing fashion things, before the Chinese GP back on April 11th, Sir Lewis Hamilton attended the Global Creativity Awards in New York. How dare he not tell me that he was in my state and my city? Wore an incredibly bejeweled suit that I'm just absolutely obsessed about. Anytime Lewis Hamilton sparkles, I absolutely love to see it. Now, back to Shanghai. GQ hosted the twist party before the Chinese GP with tons of celebrities in attendance and also with Lewis and Zhou. It was a partnership with Tommy Hilfiger, and Lewis rocked this really sick like Tommy Hilfiger jersey. I love when he like really leads into the sportswear. Now, if we haven't talked about the Tortured Poets Department already, I'm going to tell you about which teams actually consider themselves Tortured Poets, because there's nothing that I love more than tracking what F1 accounts are using Swifty content to make content. So, what teams decided to edit themselves onto the Tortured Poets Department album this week? McLaren, Mercedes, Alpine, and Williams. So, some bonus points to you guys all this week. Tons of athletes showed up to the Chinese GP. Zhou played some basketball with Yao Ming in the paddock. Eileen Gu, an 18-year-old Olympic freestyle skier and also a Red Bull athlete, was also spotted in the paddock. Zhou wasn't his only one flexing his other sports muscles, basketball muscles. Fernando Alonso took on the Aramco Challenge in the paddock and played some basketball with members of the Chinese Basketball Association. Oscar Piastri was interviewed by Hypebeast about making his mark in F1. He was also a guest on the latest episode of Team Torque, which is the podcast that Alex and Logan do with Williams. Charles and Carlos are in the May issue of Vogue Italia, and oh my god, if there was anything that both of these guys did before one of them left Ferrari, thank god it was finally a spread in Vogue. It's an entire Ferrari-themed shoot with Russian model Irina Shayk. The entire aim of the promotion and the photo shoot is to create a female model specifically in the world of motorsports, so specifically having a face that is a model for the world of motorsports with females, which I think is really cool. But hey, maybe we'll get a female driver on the F1 grid and you can also use her for that kind of thing. Crazy thought, but not trying to belittle all of the good things and positive things about this entire shoot. Team principal Fred Vasseur actually said some like really notable things about F1 and specifically Ferrari and how they've started to figure out ways to break out beyond the boundaries of motorsports. They really see themselves becoming a true cultural phenomenon, finding space within fashion magazines in digital space dedicated to lifestyle, youth, and even luxury. So you can already see specifically Ferrari's focused on creating some sort of lifestyle brand. Luxury, we already know, but really calling out that youth demographic and seeing that as important to them, which, hey, that's not necessarily the traditional Ferrari that we normally get. McLaren celebrated Earth Day on their social medias with Oscar in a video discussing their partnership with the Great Barrier Reef Foundation. And this is how I found out that they had a partner with the Great Barrier Reef Foundation. Alpine does the What's Up Brother trend, special tea, special plays, Tuesday. If you don't know what that is, I'm sorry, you're not as chronically online as I am, and I don't know how I ended up in this part of the internet, but they did it and it made me laugh. Alex Albon took a Tai Chi lesson in Shanghai before the Chinese Grand Prix. Steak F1 did another comic book cover for the Chinese GP. They've been doing these the entire season. They're all really sick. And if you're interested in getting the Chinese GP cover, this one is actually being sold online. And now, potentially my biggest, oh my goodness, pop culture moment of the week is Lewis Hamilton teasing a possible collab with Dior. Oh my goodness. Lewis has created a brand new Instagram. If you're not in it, you'll be able to find it other places. But we're talking about a specific behind-the-scenes video that he's posting. There's some driving around the Eiffel Tower in Paris. We've been getting content of the things in Japan. Whatever. Bottom line, there's a picture, Lewis Hamilton. He has the back of his shirt, it says Dior. Then, it's front of his shirt, it says 44, Dior logo. Are we getting some type of Lewis Hamilton plus 44 collab, Lewis Hamilton collab? Give it to us. I need this. I need Lewis to do some, it just tracks so hard for Lewis to do some sort of collab with an actual designer. And it's like the last stage in his evolution before like, fully taking over with his own fashion line in some way. Or maybe we're just going to get some music drop. Either way, Lewis is teasing something and we're going to get it, and I would love for it to be Dior and Lewis related. That's everything I got for you this week on Gossip Grid, everything you need to know about F1 and pop culture, and I'm coming at you from the Torture Poets Department this week, and everything's a little bit black and white here, so I'll see you next time.
Attention all passengers, the train is now approaching Frustration Station. All ticket purchasers, please report to track 8.
I hate that we're doing a Frustration Station on Lewis Hamilton's weekend, because this wasn't supposed to be a Frustration Station weekend for Lewis Hamilton. So I would like to progressively go through the weekend and talk about it chronologically, starting with how defeated Lewis Hamilton sounded as Max zoomed off into the distance and Bono goes, yes, Lewis, we know it's an anomaly. But like, Lewis doesn't race to like get P2. We know this. And the man just sounded so sad on the radio.
And especially because like shortly before, like the radio is like, you know, Bono's like saying like the distance that Max is, and Lewis is just like, I can see him. Like, I got it. Like, I can do that. Like, I see him. I don't need you to tell me. And it's like, we know. But it was like in that moment, it's like, it's the inevitable. It's good. Max Verstappen. Like,
he was having so much fun up until then. He was like, yeah, look at me holding off Alonso and like doing the racing thing. And he was just like having fun. And then I understand, Lewis, it's not fun to watch Max go 15 seconds off into the distance for fun on a sprint race. Like, it's just.
Yeah. And even if it could have, like, he held him off like a couple seconds and then a lockup, it just, yeah, it was like, will it, could he do it? And it would have been fun to watch. And of course, I wish it wasn't during a sprint race, but I mean, it, because I don't want to give sprint races like any sort of legitimacy or of enjoyment of me watching, but I would be lying really if fun. I didn't enjoy that right? Small window of things.
Behind the curtain here, so the sprint race happened, and it was, I think, midnight my time or midnight your time. It was the middle of the night.
It was everything was like 3 a.m. ish, I feel like, for me.
Okay. Now I can't remember why you were awake, but I was watching it, and I started texting Nicole, panicking that Lewis Hamilton was leading a race, and she got a play-by-play over text from me that ended with, like, lap 9 with, never mind, false alarm, Max is gaining aggressively.
It was midnight. I take it back. It was very much okay. Midnight, because I definitely was not, I would not have been awake
post at 3 a.m.
Poets. Yeah. But yes, I remember exactly now, getting the live of, like, it's happening, it's happening. I was like, what do you mean? Yeah. There's no way!
And I would never have texted the spoilers to you if Lewis wasn't leading the race. I'm like, oh my God, wait, what if something does happen? Because there were about 2 laps where it looked like Max was uncomfortable on his tires. And I was like, what if Lewis wins this fake race and Nicole's asleep? I was freaking out.
Yep, definitely could have been possible, but then right away, just kidding, the thing happened, and, but, P2.
Which, so, not bad.
Right.
He was the grumpy. Race. But, yeah. Then the weekend kind of went off a cliff, and this is when I went, oh, we're going to have to do a frustration station for Lewis. P18 in qualifying.
That quali was a nightmare. Nightmare fuel. Coming off the fake race. And then I'm like riding into, yes, quali's back on the Saturday. That's not what I want to see. None of that was enjoyable to review and watch and be a part of. Hello? 18? What are we? Hello? No. No, no. No, no, no. Because then I was like, well, this is not what I want to have to watch and deal with all day Sunday. It's like, let's watch the battle through. All aboard, yep. I'm frustrated and mad. It was painful. It made me pissed off, like, the rest of Saturday. Because I'm like, cool. This is what I'll live with now. I'm
going
to go.
It's that trend going around on social media right now. Like, I'm sorry I was angry, but my favorite insert sports thing here lost. Yeah, sorry I'm angry. Lewis Hamilton is P18 on the grid. I was so grumpy.
Yeah, I continuously wanted to go back to the meme of like the person laying on the gurney that's like, what happened? It's like, oh, she let sports dictate her feelings again. She got too emotionally invested in the sports, which is hard. And anytime we have like a rough quality for Lewis, it's horrendous, but God, a Q1. What is this? Alpine? Hello? Like, this is not what we're here for. Like,
that's such great foreshadowing to the race, considering that he really struggled to pass an Alpine during the race.
Right, which I was, again, like, what is happening? This is not supposed to be anything that I'm watching.
It's one of, it really was a, like, it was a lead-up moment because...
Yeah, I was literally about to quack. That's, yeah.
Yeah. It's because the sprint went so well, and we all know that no one's actually competing with Max. And so this point, like, going into a race weekend, it's not who will win, and it's like, okay, if Max doesn't DNF, Max will win, so who's going to get P2? Or is Checo going to perform well, therefore who's going to get P3? Like, that's kind of like the conversation going into a race weekend for, like, our enjoyment, right? Because it's not enjoyable. Who's going to win this race? So... it's frustrating to see Lewis perform so well in the sprint and with the way that car was set up. And then for them to do some silly experiment on it going into the race and with quality for the race, I'm just like, no, it was going well. Just like, nothing you do to that shitbox of a car is going to make it be able to compete with Max. So like, I just
don't screw it up. Yeah, and then all like Toto's quotes like, post race and since then I just used to be things that either gave me hope or just like, you know, like I was able to commiserate with, and now it's just like, well, why is Lewis, you know, he looks so happy because he's not gonna have to drive in this car in a year. It's like, yeah, me too, I'm also happy that Lewis isn't gonna have to drive in this car in a year, and I would also be about to like, woo, Hamfosi is like super where I was at this whole weekend.
Right, every time something like this happens I just Hamfosi. I'm just excited to complain about new things. Is that Hamilton?
New things to complain about. This would be great, especially because right now it seems like Ferrari's biggest drama would just be whatever drama's on track, but who knows how that will maintain. This is... it was a roller coaster of a weekend for Lewis, and part of me was hyped that I was asleep for some of it, and...
most of it. I was asleep most of it, actually. All right, I have a really important question before we get into the segment. How do the points work in the 60 and 60 McLaren Lego video?
The points are made up. What is it? I say this all the time. Everything is made up, and the points don't matter. Yeah. And I understand that this is a Lego animation video for McLaren. However, I require some consistency or else there's no legitimacy in any competition.
I can't turn off that part of my brain. And I'm like watching the video and I'm like, how do the points work? I want to be able to be competitive, even if it's in this fake Lego space. But nope, there's no rules.
Oscar and Lando do not win the tiny Lego McLaren because they got one question that was apparently worth 48 points because there was 4 seconds left and it was times 12. None of that made any sense. And again, this is a cartoon for children.
Are we teaching our youths? Things it's need like to have rules.
Core math.
Common core.
Okay. Well, there's. If you have not seen. Right. If you have not seen, there has been not a resurgence of Tuned because it's not the same thing, but McLaren and Lego have released.
A spiritual successor
of Tuned. McLaren and Lego together have released these adorable, really short segment clips, storylines of Oscar and Lando Legos doing silly McLaren F1 related things, and like, yay, enjoyable, fun content for kids, but also yay, fun, enjoyable, animated content in F1. I love this stuff.
I love McLaren Tuned, and if you have never been exposed to, were an F1 fan back then, like, go on YouTube, just search McLaren Tuned, and there's multiple seasons. The first season has Lewis Hamilton in it, so it is, and then at the end, this is a spoiler, but at the end of the season, they basically kill off Lewis Hamilton and replace him with Sergio Perez because he leaves the McLaren team, but it's for kids, so they don't actually kill him off, but, like, the vibes are dramatic, to say the
it's
least.
Great.
I love it.
It's so great. Yeah, it's an artistic choice.
If you have any small children, you're like, that point aside, and you're like, oh, I really want to get them involved in F1. Like, this is honestly, like, Tuned is a great jumping off point. And I got the same feeling and vibe with this Lego partnership, where I 100% know that any, like, younger cousins I have, even whether or not they like F1, whether they know McLaren or Lando or Oscar, if I showed them this, they would love McLaren forever. They'd be like, oh, that's my team. That's my F1 team. They'd probably start watching F1 Kids broadcasts. Like, it is such fantastic marketing. Like, Lego animations are already fantastic. Put, like, Oscar and Lando in it. Yeah. Yeah. No, this was genius.
You could tell that Lego is really turning up the involvement in F1. I mean, they've had, like, multiple sets this year and being launched, and this is not their first drops of, you know, F1 sets that are, like, definitely a little bit more intense, and they have them at different levels varying throughout. And this is obviously another attempt of aligning with the F1 fan base, but also definitely aligning in a way that's targeting a younger audience. Because there's a lot of Legos that are 18 plus, and you're not going to be able to have 8-year-olds be able to put this together. Like, yeah, it's intense stuff. But then they also do have some, like, smaller things and ways that you can be fostering a tiny young racing fans environment without having to build, you know, a 1,000-piece MP44 that I one day will own and you'll see behind me. Like, they are finding ways of remaining involved and either growing this presence that they have within F1. And it's very cool that they've done it so much with different sets, and now that they're also doing it in, like, additional online content.
Yeah, I've also found it very interesting because the sets that they released this year, well, a couple years ago, they released a very expensive for adults McLaren. I believe it was whatever Daniel Ricciardo's last year with the team was. And then...
As I hold up my Danny Rick car that's currently in my desk.
And then a long time ago, like, I actually had to get this secondhand. You can tell it's so long because Lewis has a red 44. This is definitely a four kids set. Like, this was like 50 to 100 pieces.
Didn't that also,
like,
come with a VB option? Right?
It did.
Like, didn't it
come with
right?
a VB?
Yeah.
Yep. I could have put the VB number on the flag instead of the Lewis Hamilton number on the flag. But this year they dropped multiple levels of McLarens. So they definitely dropped a kid-focused McLaren, and then they dropped the adult MP44, and then they dropped the, like, more adult set for Mercedes. So I've been really interested in watching the different marketing strategies that the two teams are doing. So with Mercedes, they built a real-life replica of a Mercedes car out of Legos. And for McLaren, they're making little animated shorts, and you can really see, like, what target audience they're going after with it.
Yeah, McLaren's definitely going for the younger fan aspect, and I think it goes really well with Oscar and Lando are a really great pairing of drivers to be like turning into Lego characters. And it's very funny watching them on this fake quiz show or watching them kind of like play in a wind tunnel, and Oscar's getting like messages from the employee of the month, Zach Brown, to like potentially, I mean, my entire vision, I'm just like, oh my God, Oscar's going to get Lando like sucked into the wind tunnel. Like, that's totally where I see this is going. But it's just all very like silly type things. It's a good,
and it's on brand for McLaren. McLaren really wants us to lean into fun, silly, goofy, look how like relatable and silly our drivers are, versus Mercedes is much more buttoned up business.
W14 life-size Lego took, you know, 15 hours and all these people and it's like, cool. Yeah. That's definitely very, very cool. And like, some kids will see that, but also kids will be very entertained with the continuous Lego series on McLaren.
Yeah. I think it's like, if you were taking all the F1 teams and putting them on a spectrum based on their content that they want to project, from fun to serious and professional, McLaren would be the funnest. And I think maybe then like steak. Oh, and then all the way on the other spectrum, you would have Mercedes brand personality that is very buttoned up. And it's not that Mercedes couldn't do something fun like Attuned. I would just be shocked if they did, because it's so counter their current brand right now. But I also think some of it, to your point, why this worked so well for McLaren and I wouldn't have pitched it to Mercedes, is you're not going to have Lewis forever. Like,
right.
It would only work because I think Lewis would be a great Lego figure, but I don't think George and Lewis as a duo work that way. Like, I don't think it would be believable to me that the two of them would be goofy the way Lando and Oscar are. It's not a believable vibe. And it might totally be what's happening. I don't know. We don't know them, but it's just, you haven't
marketed them that way. At least not as Lego figures.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be so against the way that they have presented them as a duo that I would be like, oh, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, no, but the Lando Oscar of, you know, like Lando screaming to Oscar, are you giving me a thumbs up or is that just a C hand? Like, it's just silly Lego humor is like so spot on. It works perfectly with those drivers. It's definitely match made in heaven of pairings and partnerships. And if anything, I'm wondering if, you know, Lego is looking to expand to other teams on the grid or trying to see like which team is necessarily like the most lucrative. I am hoping it's kind of both, you know, that maybe they find they're like, you know, really riding with McLaren, but then can also do other types of cars and things. But just give me more content. Give me, you know what, throwing everything out of, I want to go full pedal to the metal. I want an F1 Lego game. Please, please, please. Oh my gosh. Everyone can go play F1 Manager, whatever the heck they want. I want F1 Legos, and I want to drive around a circuit and collect a bunch of coins and do a whole bunch of nonsense. That's what I want.
I want a pit stop minigame in it. I want to be the pit crew.
Pay us money. We're giving you these ideas for free, and I will literally pay for the game.
I also, like, I think it is so sad that I can't get a Ferrari Lego. Like, I can't. So, like, I understand that, like, it's not Ferrari's brand to license out to something like Lego, but please do it. I don't need a little show. I just want a little car.
2025 would be a great year for Ferrari to change their perspective on everything, including Legos!
And Funko Pops! I want a Lewis Hamilton Funko Pop in Ferrari gear.
Because then all the Mercedes ones are going to get more expensive, and then we have to paint one to look like Ferrari. It's just going to be a whole thing.
Yeah, I think this one would be really hard to paint. I'm sure you could do it. I don't think I have the patience.
It's so much black to cover. Like, that's the one thing, is you have to prime his suit and the hat white and then paint it red, because the black's going to be so annoying to cover.
Right.
Quack, quack. 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 Quack, quack.
Duck is on the desk because the girls are fighting. Ferrari was spicy this weekend in Shanghai. We saw some, like, legitimate racing, some, like, tire kissing, like, ooh.
I love referring to it as tire kissing. That's great. I think we've been waiting for this moment to happen. And it's not shocking to me that Charles kind of finally got on the pace this weekend, and that's when it happened, because we've been waiting for them to be a little more on par. And, well...
Quack, 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 quack.
Yeah, so Charles made an assessment over the radio that he thinks Carlos fights him a little harder on track than anyone else, which I wouldn't say is an inaccurate statement. It was a correct Carlos assessment.
Also proving a point.
Yeah.
And yeah, that radio made me laugh. Because it's not wrong, and it, but like, what are you gonna do? Like, it's
well, it, what it, you should do as Ferrari is tell them it's not acceptable. Like, it's
right, right. But they also were like, yeah, it seems a little bit more. We've been recently discussing about how Ferrari seems to have the communication and like grasp on things right now. Which, for Ferrari, I'm going to still say that they kind of do.
Except that there was the return of the plan letters this weekend. Plan right. D? Charles, do you like Plan D? And I was just, like, felt triggered. Like, I knew they were still using the letter system, but we just hadn't heard it on the radio in a while.
Right, and I just feel like it's going to have to be something that we, like, prepare to hear for Lewis. But that's fine. Something that clearly no one was able to get, like, the grips on and, like, control on. It's, like, the post-race conversations amongst their drivers of if all of the heat on track had been, like, hashed out, because they both had two very different stories. One, believing Charles, like, we've discussed, and Carlos, like, nah, well, we will, but we haven't. And it's like, okay, so something has happened and something has not happened between them. So it is...
To be fair, like, they both said everything was going to be fine. Just one of them said everything was already fine, and the other one said that things were going to be fine. It wasn't like one said, everything's fine, and the other person said, I hate them.
And sometimes with the show, we have to speculate out of the little things that we can... So here
this
we go.
This was too funny. This
the
was
girls are fighting. Quack, 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 quack. Right. Quack, it just quack, feels like quack, we've quack. Been saying for so very long. I also love that I will continue to just quack myself and not press the button is what
yeah,
I
we
am
have
also
a
realizing.
Soundboard for
we
it.
Do have a sounder, but I just feel the need to quack out loud.
Quack, 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 quack.
I just love the idea that someone could be listening on audio and they don't know necessarily the difference between you're just like quacking and the soundboard.
Like, they're so different I'm... people.
But the... yeah, yeah. So getting us back on topic, I think I saw the quotes and I just laughed hysterically. And it was our first obvious lame duck moment from Ferrari, where it was like, oh, yeah, they probably would have been on the same page PR-wise if Carlos wasn't in a lame duck here.
Right, right. It would have been like a full team meeting and things, but... And I don't know if it's... This is just for me to say that I think every week... I'll speak for myself. Every week I've been really looking forward to a little bit of, like, spice on track. Now, yeah. But I don't want either of them to crash out. I adore both of those drivers. I, like... In a way, want them both to succeed in a way that I also understand is not possible of how this sport functions. So when this is happening, it's like, oh, it's going down. And like, yeah, not a lot of stuff has happened. However, nothing didn't happen. Yeah. You know?
It's still early in the year, too.
Right.
Like, I think both Ferrari and Mercedes, the reason we introduced this lame duck segment this year is because we're just anticipating that it's going to get worse through the season. It's not going to get better through the season. And this was the first time where I went, oh, like, because Carlos is fighting him harder on track. And I'm not saying that that's wrong, but I also think it's well within Charles's right to say, I'm your long-term driver, put a stop to this. And it was actually
right. Say
very...
something, do something.
Yeah. Like, I don't think we've really seen publicly that version of Charles before, where he's very clearly standing up for himself. And I appreciated seeing that he might have publicly some of that cutthroat, I'm an F1 driver nature. Now I'm going to hate it next year. But right now, like I keep saying that like this is my last opportunity to root as hard for Charles that as I have been historically, because he's eventually going to be teammates with Lewis, and that's going to ruin that. But for right now, I'm like, oh, this is like you are that cutthroat, like, and be that cutthroat because it is his team. There's a reason they're not signing the other driver. Like, so, like, I would be interested to see if Ferrari changes their approach at all next week and they're more publicly on track pro Leclerc.
I need to see all this go down, like, not during a sprint weekend. I need, like, a normal... I need this, like, build up on, like, a Sunday. I don't want the other opportunities for this because I feel like it could like fester in a sprint and then not. I don't know. I need a normal race weekend for the lame duck shenanigans to unfold. Okay. Now we're in a universal movie.
It's the final lap hitting every F1 garage. Get ready for this week's Yellow Sector Notes.
There's still no update on the sexual assault investigation into Christian Horner. I will continue to say this every week because we still haven't heard from F1, and therefore I have a tiny sliver of hope. But the reality is I don't feel like promoting anything the Red Bull Corporation is doing because they clearly didn't take this seriously. I still hope that the victim in all of this is safe and surrounded by as much support as possible. This will continue to be the weekly Yellow Sector Note for Red Bull until I feel better about saying something else. That day has not come yet. So, moving on to the other teams that I am willing to talk about. Ferrari. So, we have two things here. I don't normally do more than one Yellow Sector Note, but I need to start with the Ferrari is rumored to be blue for Miami. We'll talk more about that next week, but blue? I'm confused. But in more well-reported news, it seems like HP is coming on as a massive title sponsor next year for Ferrari, rumored to be the biggest title sponsorship deal in all of F1 history, surpassing the current Oracle Red Bull deal. Let's just say that, yeah, that power driver duo is probably bringing in the money. This is probably going to be the first of many of these that we hear about. McLaren are confident again and are definitely going to win a race and be able to catch up with Red Bull and Max by the end of this year. They are very confident in all their quotes. They're also bringing upgrades to the Miami GP, but they're very confident. They went from not being confident to very confident. Next up is Mercedes. Rumors are swirling that Mercedes F2 driver Kimi Antonelli might actually replace Logan Sargeant at Williams as early as the Imola GP after this next race. I can't speak to that. These are definitely just rumors. But completely unrelated, Kimi Antonelli completed his first testing session in an old Mercedes car, part of his planned development program with the team. Aston Martin this weekend created two of my favorite meme templates that came out of the Chinese GP. You should head over to our YouTube channel because they are up on the screen right now. But in summary, it is Lance Stroll underneath Daniel Ricciardo, and it is the swarm of photographers behind Fernando Alonso swarming Lewis Hamilton. They're great meme templates. Red Bull Jr. dropped a Hugo eyewear partnership. The Haas team is very upset about K-Mag's penalty, very, very upset, according to their quotes. Williams announced that their ambassador, Jenson Button's whiskey brand, is now a sponsor. Now, steak. I'm going to get a roundabout steak note this week. All right, so we didn't have an opportunity to sneak this into the show today. I'm sure there'll be opportunities in future episodes. Steak, going to become Audi. The big rumor this week is that Carlos Sainz is currently negotiating with both Audi and Red Bull. Who knows where they're going to end up, but it does, I still put my money on him ending up at Audi and Steak next year. But last week we said we'd be shocked if he was even negotiating with Red Bull, and apparently that's true. And last but not least, well, I guess this is done in constructor's order. So last and least, Alpine Suzuka upgrades really didn't help them all that much, but we should all take a note from Esteban, who is at least publicly keeping the most positive outlook I have ever seen or heard from a driver, making a post about how he was excited that he was almost in the points. So it's just such a good example of making the best out of a clearly awful situation. He could be really grumpy right now. So shout out to SD Bestie for his positive attitude right now, because what else can you do? Can't fix the car. And that's the Gridwalk for April 25th, 2024 completed. How was my sector time today, Nicole?
Faster than a fortnight.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Gridwalk. Thank you to our co-creators, Nicole Katz and Brianna Klein. Thank you to our four-legged executive producers and me, VoiceOver Man. Don't forget to subscribe, like the video, turn on auto downloads, and leave a review to provide us with a fresh set of tires for the next week's show. You can follow us on social media at Gridwalk Show for daily content. We will be back to walk the Formula One grid every Thursday, and we will see you for the post-Gridwalk debrief in the comments.
Today felt like a lot of sleep deprivation and not a Gridwalk. Almost knocked the whole desk over.